This evening we begin a series of three messages, and they will be from the book of Nehemiah. We'll begin in chapter 8 this evening, and we'll continue next Sunday evening, and then the following Sunday we'll have the completion of the study on Nehemiah. Now, the reason that I selected this particular section of Scripture is that it speaks of renewal or revival. And during the time of Nehemiah, the people had fallen away from the things of God. Ezra had reestablished the temple in the book of Ezra. Those details are given to you. And the people were again worshiping Jehovah. But they still lacked, because the walls of Jerusalem were down and the gates were all burnt up, Nehemiah said, and he was very broken because of this. To give you a little heart for Nehemiah's concern, as the man of God, he was the governor, Ezra was the priest, the Levites were there, but the man of God in this situation that God was going to use to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Let's look into his heart for just a few moments in the first chapter of Nehemiah. The Scripture tells us that while Nehemiah was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnants that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." What a terrible report. And Nehemiah says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And he said, 'O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your ears open to hear the prayer of your servants is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel.'" Now, Nehemiah loves his people. He had seen how God had used Ezra to reestablish the temple, reestablish the worship. And then he gets this report that his people are in disgrace. They're in reproach. The walls are down and the gates are burned with fire. And consider the compassion of the man for his own people. He says, "I sat down there and wept." And what did he do? He didn't just call for Ezra and the Levites and the other rulers to get together to make a plan of how this would be taken care of. That would have been a good thing certainly to do. But first of all, he wept and he went before God in prayer and he fasted and he called unto God. And he said, "Lord, see what has happened to my people and help me." And in the continuation of that prayer, he says, "Give me favor before the king, that he might allow me to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city." Well, while he was praying, God was already moving in the heart of the king. The Scripture says, "The heart of the king is in the Lord's hands, and he turneth with whichever way he wishes." And so Nehemiah goes to King Artaxerxes. For Nehemiah was the cupbearer of the king. And so he went into him, and Artaxerxes looked at him, and he said, "Why is your countenance fallen? And why are you so sad?" Nehemiah said, "Why would I not be sad?" He said, "When my people back in Jerusalem are in such reproach, the walls are down, the gates are burned." And he said, "I'm in great heaviness, for the land of my people is in reproach. God already having moved in the heart of the king said to him, what can I do for you? And he asked him that he might be given permission to go back. Not only that he would be given some materials to begin the rebuilding of the walls. Basically what he asked the king was for a building permit and some material to get started. And God, moving on the king's heart, he got it and he returned unto Jerusalem to do the work. Now when he got there, he submitted his papers, his permit, to Sanballat and Tobiah, the leaders of that city there. And they were sore displeased to see him come with these papers, because they cared nothing for the Israelites. They wanted them to be scattered. They didn't want them building any walls. They didn't want to get them established. And they said, this will come to nothing. He said, I don't care about your papers for the king, but he says, what you're trying to do will not be established. And from that time on, Sanballat and Tobiah tried in every way to frustrate the work of Nehemiah to rebuild those walls. But God was with Nehemiah. And 11 times here in these scriptures, in this short book, it says Nehemiah was in prayer before the Lord. And God said at this time in history, these walls were going to be built. And Nehemiah was his servant who was going to lead the work, along with Ezra the priest and the Levites and all the others were going to do this. He was going to give the people a mind to do the work. And the enemies of God were in no way going to stop this work. It even got to the point that the enemies of God got within the people of Israel and got some of the people to come over to their side to begin to work against Nehemiah. But even that did not frustrate the work. And in 52 days, the walls were reestablished in Jerusalem. What it took 94 years before could not be done. The man of God, with God's power and hand upon his life, and the people given a will to work, they accomplished in 52 days. And even the enemies of the work of God had to acknowledge that this indeed was done by the hand of God. Now, having the walls up and the gates reestablished, something yet needed to be done. For even though Ezra had rebuilt the temple, the people were involved in the worship of God. In a period of 13 years, the reforms that Ezra had established in chapters 9 and 10 of his book, and these books, by the way, go together. At one time, for hundreds of years, they were as one unit. But now we have them in the two. And I would encourage you, as we go through these studies in the next couple of weeks, that you read this book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and to be better prepared as we come here each evening to talk about these works of God through these men. But Ezra had established the worship again. But in the period of just 13 years, they backslid. As Dr. Gay mentioned last Sunday morning, they were going along and things were going well, but they kept slipping back, so that now they were in the same position once again of being in worship, being going through the temple worship, observing the feasts, doing all of these things, but sin was in the camp. And so Nehemiah had to reestablish the Word of God in chapter 8, where we come in this evening, and I'll just touch on it. We'll begin to pick it up again next week. He had to establish once again the authority of the Word of God in Jerusalem. So when the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people was assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. And when this took place, it was the time at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And at this feast, it was said, the law of Moses said, the book would be brought out and the priest would read to all the people. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. Now the assembly was made up of the men and the women and all who were able to understand. The little children came if they could understand. The servants came if they could understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, the women, and others who could understand. And all of the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Now, they did it from daybreak till noon. That's 6 hours, friends. Can you imagine 6 hours listening to the word? Well, they did it. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. And then some of the leaders listed there that were beside him. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted up their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, and they're listed here, they instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so the people could understand what was being read. He was reading the book of the law, and then these Levites were scattered all throughout the crowd, and they gave the understanding. It was read distinctly so the people could know what was being read to them. And Nehemiah and the governor and Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the word of the law. My friends, the word of God came with such power on this occasion to the people that as it was read, it broke them. The word of God exposes the failure of man. They were reading, Ezra was reading what God had done for the people. And as he was reading, they saw their sinfulness and they saw how they had fallen short of God's commandments. They had not followed him wholeheartedly. And Nehemiah, in that prayer that I read from the very beginning, he admitted with God. He says, "We have sinned exceedingly against you, our God." He says, "I have sinned and my fathers have sinned and our children have sinned and all our community have sinned. We have done wickedly against you." The scripture says that regarding the word, "Is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Is it not like a fire that consumes?" The word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it showed to them the faithfulness of their God that had brought them out of the land of Egypt, had brought them through the wilderness, had been caring for them all along and had blessed them with every blessing that they needed. And they recognized that they had turned their back on God. And the scripture says they were laid down, their heads were bowed, and they were weeping. But this was a festive occasion. This was the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, which, thank God for the ingathering of the harvest, it also was a time to thank God for his provision for them through the wilderness, and to remind them also that they were to dwell in tents or booths, that they were to be very temporary dwellings, because this place where they were was only a temporary place for them, for their home was to be with the Lord forever and ever. All these things were to be brought to their attention afresh during this, the Feast of Tabernacles. And so, they were weeping. They were weeping for a good purpose in the repentance of their sin. And the scripture says, "As a godly sorrow leadeth to repentance." But, because it was a festive occasion, it was a holy occasion, then Ezra the priest and the Levites, they say, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep. Get up. Lift up your heads. Rejoice." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Take care of the poor. This day is sacred to our Lord. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we'll end there and pick that up again next week with that thought, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And one of the elements of any period of revival, when God is moving in a mighty way amongst any people, even in our own individual lives, is the new attention and the new primacy of the Word of God in our lives, in our experience. Now consider in that scene how those people stood there listening to the book of the law for all those many hours, and how it took hold in their lives. My friends, if we're going to have a revival in our times, whether it be in our church, in our community, or in our own individual lives, the Word of God will be at the center of such a movement in our spirits. For God speaks to us through His Word. And as He chooses in His divine will and His divine purposes, that Word comes to us as it came to those people that day. And it speaks to us. It'll show us our true condition. It'll show us. It'll also show God's holiness. And it'll give us something of what the preacher was speaking last Sunday morning about the awe of God. The awe. We'll see that great holiness afresh. We'll not enter in so flippantly. We will not lay aside the Word of God so easily. It's not something that we'll take and look into if it's convenient. But we'll have a desire to hear God's Word and to respond to it. And then there'll be that gracious moving of the Spirit of God and that godly sorrow that comes within when we realize that we're not what God would have us to be. How good God has been to us. We look back and we see what God has done in our lives. And what blessing He has brought to us and what He has saved us from. When we were in darkness and we walked not with Him and we knew nothing of His Word or His people or His blessings. And He took us out of that and brought us into His glorious presence in the forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit indwelt to understand the Word. To understand the Word. And it says here that there was great joy when they understood the Word. So may God speak to us through His Word. And may we once again establish God's Word as primary in our lives. And not only that we would believe the Word, and read the Word, but that the Word would have control in our lives. That truly it would be our only rule of faith and practice. It's one thing to know the Word. It's another thing to live under the authority of the Word of God. The people here in Nehemiah's time, they knew the Word. They were hearing the Word all the time. But they weren't living under the authority of the Word. May God's Word come with authority in our lives once again. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Nehemiah and Ezra, what You did through these men, that we can look at it in a fresh way tonight. And God, You never change. You care for us as You cared for them. Lord, move in our lives. And may Your Word speak to us in a mighty way, that we would return unto You to be Your willing servants, being the men and women You'd have us to be, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.